Friends, if you'll remain standing and put your hands on a Bible, either your own or one in the pew in front of you, and we'll look together at the book of Acts, chapter 2. If you'll remain standing, we'll hear together from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 37, this is the day of Pentecost. It's rightfully the first Christian proclamation of the gospel after the resurrection of Jesus. Peter has been preaching Acts 2, 37. When the people heard this, that is Peter's preaching, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They continued devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pause there and pray. Father, we give thanks that we do not have to live by bread alone, by human nourishment alone, but we live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Experts tell us, experts who study human behavior say that when you feel the most overwhelmed, whether it's by stress at your job or by some circumstances in life that you didn't choose, or even if it's just by the clutter in your house, when you feel overwhelmed, the most powerful thing that you can do is not to sit down and make a full-bore plan, but the most powerful thing you can do is take one small action. One small action. That's all it takes sometimes to cut through everything else. Take one small action. Ask one open-ended question of a person with whom you have struggles. Send one email. Make one phone call. Wash one dish or step outside and walk around the block one time. A single step. Even the smallest step begins to build momentum, to create momentum, and it can break the paralysis that might otherwise hold you back. That one single step reminds your brain and your body and your spirit that change really is possible. And do you know this, that the Christian life, your Christian life, works the same way? God rarely downloads to me or to you. God rarely downloads a 5-year comprehensive strategy. But he does, and I believe he is today, inviting you to take one move. Make one move. Take one faithful step. I love this in Acts chapter 2. The people who heard Peter preach on that day, they did not ask for a philosophy. They asked a simple, urgent question. After hearing the gospel, their question was one: what shall we do? And Peter didn't give them 10 steps. He gave them the first step. Over the last 6 weeks, we've been looking together at Good Shepherd Savannah about all we want to do in terms of reaching people who are far from God, teaching them to follow Jesus, and releasing them as disciples to make impact in the world. And that is a whole lot. That is a whole lot. And some of you may be thinking, after hearing bits and pieces of that over the last weeks, well, that's good, I agree with it, but what do I actually do? Today is about one move, one step. Not 10 or 15 or a lifetime plan, but one step towards Jesus. Because I believe today you don't need a new vision, you need one next move, one new move. Again, here, this scripture, maybe the most important question that's asked by anyone in all the book of Acts. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Not what shall we believe, although doctrine, belief is important. That wasn't the first question. What should we feel? What should we think? Or even the more tempting question, they didn't ask, what should they do? They said, what should we do? And every man and woman who heard said, what should I do? When I look back over last week's sermon, some of you would be glad you weren't here. Go listen to it anyway. I tried to pack a lot in, and you may have left feeling like I did, like I had done too much. I was trying to preach maybe two or three sermons into one, but I kept coming back to this conviction, and it's a conviction that we share, I think. When the gospel finally lands, when we're confronted with the invitation of Christ in our lives, we often don't need more information. We need more devotion. We need a clear direction. We don't need a new vision. We need a new move, a next step. And that's exactly what Peter does for those who've gathered on Pentecost. A clear next step. Repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. Peter doesn't give them everything all at once. He doesn't warn them that there's going to be persecution and they might have to flee Jerusalem and there'll be danger and they'll have to give of their physical goods to support the community. He doesn't tell them everything. He doesn't give them the road from here to eternity. He just gives them the beginning. And I think that's a little bit of relief. Because we know God meets us, right? We know in the gospel God meets us at the finish line. God meets us in heaven. But what I want you to know is that God meets you in the next step. God meets you in the next step that you take today and not just at some far off point in the future. Acts 2:42, really at the heart of this passage. After they were baptized and trusted their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, they devoted themselves. That bears repeating. They devoted themselves. Peter didn't invite these men and women into some life of vague spirituality. He didn't offer them just a moment of emotional hype. He invited them into something intentional, something that could be repeated, something that in the very core of their beings would be prioritized. Some translations say they continued steadfastly in these things. I think if it was today, they might say they were constantly leaning in. I like that phrase, leaning in to what was happening in the grace and the mercy of God. Notice this, they weren't simply doing what was spontaneous, that they weren't simply going to something occasional. They weren't simply doing these things when it was convenient or when the feelings were high. Devotion is what shows up on your calendar day in and day out, week in and week out. Devotion are the things that are non-negotiable. And there's chances are you already have a thing or two or more. You have things that you're devoted to. And your calendar would reveal that. the way you spend your time and your days or your money, that would reveal the true center of your devotion. But what I want to ask you this morning is, are those things helping you in your devotion to Jesus? Or are you as devoted to Jesus as you are to those other things? Four things that are revealed here is the center of the devotion of the church. And trust me, I'm trying not to make this four like many sermons right here. But hear this. They devoted themselves, what? To the apostles' teaching. They oriented their entire lives around the words of Jesus. That's what we want to be at Good Shepherd Savannah. We want to teach people to obey the words, not just to know, but to obey, to walk in life with and for Jesus. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to that truth. They were devoted to fellowship, to being in relational proximity with other believers. Not just looking at the back of other people's heads while one guy or gal talks at the front of the church. Devoted to being in relational proximity. Because that's what the Father did with the Son. That's what Jesus did with His Heavenly Father. And it's what Jesus did with the 12 disciples that He called. Remember, He called them to be with Him before He sent them out to preach. To be together in relational proximity and fellowship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. This is a continuation of that sort of life together around the table in intimate fellowship. It's also a nod toward the table of Holy Communion where we remember the presence of Christ and toward this celebration of a sacrament like baptism where we recognize that people come in, people who have been outside, come into the family of faith. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. To prayer, that ongoing conversation with God that expresses our dependence on Him, the urgency of our need, as I prayed at the beginning of this message, that we don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that we hear from the mouth of God. Y'all, when the apostles, when this is the way they lived, not because someone initiated a curriculum, but because they lived this life together, a life of devotion, a life that replicated the life of Jesus that they had experienced and that they couldn't help but experience with the next wave of new believers. So the outcome was not one more event. You notice this, Peter didn't preach and thousands were saved and they said, okay, when can we get Peter up to preach again next time? Because that's a great formula. It's not what happened. They didn't go for the next event. They went to shaping a lifestyle. They went to shaping a culture. And it resonated. It wasn't just what they did on a Sunday or another day of the week. It was how they lived. They lived in awe and in generosity and in joy. They lived with daily and weekly rhythms of spiritual life. And they lived with a legacy of growth that simply followed their devotion. It was growth that followed their devotion. It wasn't great marketing or great strategy. It was devotion. These last several weeks, we've talked about what it means to be a church in our covenant that we want to reach people and teach them to serve and love Jesus and His Word and to release them to follow Him in the world. Really, that's maybe a lot of language, a lot of words. But really, we just want Acts 2:42, don't we? We want people who are devoted. We want to be a church who is devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We want a church that's devoted. And I don't think that we need to overhaul our church life. And I don't think you need to overhaul your entire life this week. I think like the apostles, like Peter called, there was one move. There was one move toward devotion, one move that would make a difference for you and make a difference for our community. So I want to give you a couple of options. Not 10. Don't worry. Breathe deep. Not 5. I'll give you 2. But I'm going to say, just choose one. Just choose one. Here's option A. Option A is take a clear step. Take a clear step toward God. Take a clear step toward God. You know, if I'm talking to you, maybe things have kind of grown stale, and maybe your idea of prayer is hoping the red light changes, or you get that parking spot downtown, or hope it when you hear the phone ring, you say, "Oh, I hope it's not. Lord, don't let it be." You know the person that you hope is not calling. Or maybe it's more serious. Maybe it's something the doctor's told you. You don't want to hear this or that. If regular communication with God, if regular prayer is not already a part of your life, maybe that's your one move for this season. Maybe 30 days, it's the first Sunday of Lent. Maybe we could say 40 days. Maybe from here to Easter, this is your move. Give the Lord 5 minutes. 5 minutes of your conversation, of your attention. Before you pick up the phone or after you've started your first, maybe after your first exercise rep, or you've walked the dog and so you're awake, you want to be awake. He'll take the 5 minutes even if you're not. But that could be your first move. That could be your first move. I love there's a consecration prayer. It's in our Lenten devotional book. I'm not sure if we still have some more out there or not. It's a daily consecration prayer. This could be it. It doesn't have to be this. It may be the Lord's Prayer, a prayer you already know. The consecration prayer from our Lenten devotional from the wake-up call. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And I pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's kind of comprehensive, isn't it? A prayer of offering yourself and your life to God. Maybe that is your next move. The move that would make the difference from now to the end of March to early April to Easter. A move that literally, if you took it seriously, this could shift the trajectory of everything else. We don't have to worry about everything else right now. Let's just think of this one move. Maybe that's your option. A step towards God. Maybe this is your option. A move toward another person. Maybe things are flowing and your prayer life is conversational, and so your next move is a move toward another person. Make a commitment to have one intentional spiritual conversation, not just what's the weather like this week or what you're listening to on the radio. One spiritual conversation with one person over the course of these next weeks. Commit to one intentional spiritual conversation with one person over this next month. Because I think if we're going to reach people who are disconnected from God and the church, that's part of our heart here. If we're going to reach people, then this is essential. This is essential. It may be your key, your next move to take a step beyond yourself and offer kindness or concern. There may be a friend who needs your reassuring presence, your kindness and your patience, but also a reminder of key truth that would be life-giving and liberating for them. I'm not telling you to get your giant Bible and just like whack somebody with something. If you're that person, you know the temptation. Step away from that. Lead with kindness and with patience and with understanding, and then offer truth when truth has found its place to rest. Maybe it's your spouse, or maybe this is dangerous territory right now. I just told you to start something with your spouse. Oh gosh. Y'all, if that doesn't go right, it's not my fault. All right, I'll just say that right now. But it may be that something needs rekindling with a spouse or with a child. Maybe even an adult child, if you're already, you know, you're grown up and your kids are grown up. Maybe there is a person in your family who desperately needs connection with you. I didn't say, I want you to fix some or you have to fix something. But what the need is simple connection. And that's where your intentionality and your kindness and your curiosity more than your sense or need to control is so vital. Hey, what's up? What's new in your life? How can I help you with that? Option A, take a step, a move toward God in your life of prayer, or take a step, option two, take a step towards another person. Now you may realize you need both, but I'm asking you today to choose one. I want this simple. I want you literally to walk out of church and know the choice that you've made. I'm not asking you to write it on a pad. You don't have to flash me a one or a two, you know, when you walk out of the back. None of that. But I want you to know. I want you to know the one thing that Jesus is calling you to. You ever see dominoes? You know, maybe you play dominoes, you know, with the numbers and the. But I think probably more of you than have played it have played with them this way, where you set them up one after the other. Maybe make just one straight line, or maybe you get fancy and make a curve. But you know, right? One domino, just tap the domino, and everything else starts to fall. Everything else starts to move. This morning, friends, I'm just inviting you to one move, to one domino, to one choice. And I really do want you to decide a move toward God or a move toward another person. I'm going to stand here and close my eyes and not talk. That's a hard choice for me right now. But we're going to have about a minute of silence. And I'm going to give you space and time to decide, what is your next move? Let's close our eyes together and offer God this time. What move will I make? You may even want to write it down somewhere. Will you let me pray over you right now? Lord, I believe that you're kind, and I believe that you are speaking to people today. And my prayer is this, that you would meet your people, that you would meet every person here at the step they desire to take today. Meet them at that step. In Jesus' name, amen. The end of this passage, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, says this, they were praising God, they enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The early church, this first generation church, they didn't save the world, they didn't change the world by their emotional hype, and they didn't change the world by getting it all right at the beginning, at once. But by doing a right thing, a right move, one at a time, day after day. If we want to be a church that reaches and teaches and releases, it doesn't always start with strategy. It starts with devotion. And devotion starts with one move. Let me pray for you again. Father, I'm thankful that you speak with clarity and not with confusion. I'm thankful, Father, to hear and to know the one thing that you're calling me to, and I'm praying for clarity for all of us, that we can step out of here with our one move, our one step, a step closer in devotion to you, a step closer in devotion to another person. Father, inhabit the praises of our lips as we come again to sing at the end of this service, and inhabit our words and our actions as we leave this place, so that our move will reflect your move. In Jesus we pray. Amen.